This is the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show, brought to you by Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, Community First Credit Union, Farrah and Farrah, Brooks Rehabilitation, Wachovia, Geico, Sonny's Barbecue, your Southeast Toyota dealers, the Parts House, and by Everbank. The appearance of Pete Banaszak is made possible by the Cascades of World Golf Village. Now, to get things started, here's Cole Pepper.
Now, the Jaguars on their one and only Monday night game, their one and only opportunity on the national stage, lay an egg, 30-3, a loss to the Tennessee Titans today. Jaguars fall to 3-3. The Titans now 4-2. Everybody in the AFC South is 4-2 except the Jaguars at 3-3. And that's where we start things here on the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show. We will have lots of time to dissect, to analyze, and to break down this game to find the negatives. We will work hard to find some positives. I think we might have a few as well. I want to remind Jaguars fans to check out the Fan Zone section of Jaguars.com. See how you can win Jaguars tickets and some great Jaguars merchandise. Just look for the list of participating Parts House Car Care Centers, the Parts House official sponsor of the Jacksonville Jaguars. One of the things that certainly will be a positive today is how the city turned out. I thought it was a great atmosphere before the game. They showed an aerial shot in the fourth quarter, and folks had left. And frankly, it's hard to blame them. The way the Jaguars went today, Pete Banaszak, a disappointing game. Boy, you just wonder, how do you not come out with a little more to offer on a Monday night game?
I don't know, Artie. I relate back to when I played on Monday night. Monday night was the night as a football player, you look forward to playing it because you had the whole United States to yourself. All your peers you know are going to be watching, and it was solely your team and another team. And you came out, just it was hard to hold the horses down. I don't even think we showed up. I mean, this is like a bad dream. This is the worst offensive performance that I've ever seen a football team in a Jacksonville Jaguar football team in the last 5 years. It was just, I don't have any adjectives to describe it.
Yeah, if you look at the three games the Jaguars have lost now, they have been lopsided. A total of 96-19 has been the score combined in those three games. When they've played well, When they've played poorly, boy, they've been awful.
Oh, awful, awful. You know, and there isn't just one thing you can look at. You know, it's a number of things. You know, again, four turnovers today that were all critical. You know, turned into other points for the Titans, but just the general lethargic attitude that our team appeared to have tonight.
We want to remind everybody to test drive the new 2011 Ford Super Duty, the new 2011 Ford Mustang, or the all new Ford Fiesta. Only at your local Southern Ford dealers, and we mentioned the city turned out to look like a great crowd, a lot of energy in the stands, if not on the field when things got going. The unfortunate thing here is I think that there will be some who will misrepresent what happened here tonight around the country. I hope, my number one hope, is that folks will take a look at the 60,000-plus who were here, see the kind of atmosphere and the enthusiasm that was here when the game began, and use that as a reference point for what Jacksonville has done in terms of the fans turning out, not what happened at the end of the game when everybody had given up on it and it was 30-3 or 23-3, whatever it was, and folks were heading back out of the parking lot.
Yeah, that's what I feel bad for. You know, the fans were there. The spotlight was there. You had the whole the arena was set, you know, for a grand performance, and we never showed up. I mean, you talk about laying an egg. I don't know if there's anything worse than an egg. We laid it. I tell you, it was just horrible.
It's going to be a tough road coming up for the next couple of weeks going on the road. Well, Kansas City, at Dallas, some tough teams.
It doesn't get any brighter, no. You know, you're going against a team next week in Kansas City that is a darn good football team. They're a lot better than their record indicates and what their past has been. But this performance tonight, I think there's got to be some real close soul searching and among not only players and the coaches. That's the only people you can blame.
All right, we'll take a look at some of the numbers here as well. And it's a Wachovia stats check brought to you by Wachovia, Wells Fargo Company. Look at the total offense numbers. Tennessee outgained the Jaguars 324-249. Passing wise, pretty even, 173-171 in favor of the Jaguars, but the rushing totals, 153 yards for the Titans, doubling what the Jaguars did, 76 yards. Really, the rushing number is a little bit misleading considering that the Jaguars Gave up a 35-yard touchdown run late to Chris Johnson. Did a pretty good job against Johnson most of the game until it was pretty much well in doubt. There were a couple of stretches there where the Jaguars didn't get it done in terms of blocking up front. Look at the numbers for the quarterbacks. Both teams utilized two quarterbacks today. Kerry Collins, 11 of 16 for 110 yards and a touchdown. Vince Young, 3 of 5 for 61 yards and a touchdown. Both had quarterback ratings in the triple digits. David Garrard, Trent Edwards, neither one of which could break 41 in a quarterback rating tonight. Garrard, 7 of 12 for 49 yards and an interception. 33 was the quarterback rating for Garrard. And for Trent Edwards, it was 14 of 24, 140 yards, no touchdowns, two interceptions, and a quarterback rating of 40.3. Individually, for the Jaguars running the football, Maurice Jones-Drew led the way, 17 carries, 57 yards, just a 3.4 yard per carry average. Not a carry longer than 11 yards for the Jaguars as a team. Edwards ran 5 times for 16 yards, and Deji Kareem 3 times for 3 yards as well. Let's get the latest. Head into the locker room and check in with Jeff Loggan.
Jack, certainly not the performance you expect out of your football team. Turnovers, lost your quarterback. Not what you expected.
No, not what I expected at all. I don't think really what's indicative of the type of team we have, but it's what happened. So, you know, you got to take it as a group of men. You know, we definitely felt stung. You know, wanted to play well on a national stage, did not do that. And, you know, simple things, you know, making plays on third down when you have an opportunity defensively, offensively, not turning the ball over, defensively finding a way to get a turnover, and just not nearly good enough.
Throughout the game, I'm sitting there and I'm watching. I'm going, okay, need a spark to get something to kind of to go your way and kind of get that positive momentum, and it just didn't happen.
No, it never did happen. You know, where we had an opportunity for a spark, we turned it over. You know, the end of the first half, we're down there. We're going to get the ball to start the second half. It's 17-0, and we're in the red zone. We're struggling for another yard, and we turn it over. We're down there, you know, at another point in the game, and we got an opportunity for a touchdown, and we throw an interception, you know, in the end zone. So there's some – you're minus four in the day. It's not going to end well for you.
What happened with David? Took a shot, didn't appear to be a real hard one, but you and I both know sometimes it doesn't have to appear to be anything, and he didn't come back.
Yeah, I think he said, told me he felt like he hit his head on the ground one time, and that was what really shook him up. I think he – so I'm not sure that the actual play that he came out on was the one that, you know, got him going. I think he banged his head on the ground pretty good, and I'm not sure if it was that play or the one a couple previous, but, you know, he wasn't able to return, and that obviously was, you know, was a blow.
Trent Edwards comes in the game, newly signed, relatively new to the football team. How much of the playbook do you have with him?
Well, I mean, you know, we felt like we could operate. You know, certainly the two-minute package, a hurry-up mode, is something we'd spent quite a bit of time on. You know, we operated. We just weren't real quick, you know, operating. It looked like we were the ones running the four-minute, you know. We milked a lot of time, took a lot of time to run plays, which obviously we've got to be better at, you know, going forward.
All right. Thank you, Jack. Any other injuries to report besides David?
No, I think that was the big one. I don't recall anything else, you know, during the course of the game that kept anybody out.
All right, thank you, Jack.
Okay, Jeff.
All right, that's the coach's report brought to you by Bubba Burgers. Jeff Loggam into the locker room with head coach Jack Del Rio, and you also just heard the Baptist Health injury update. More to come. Jaguars fall tonight, 30-3 to the Tennessee Titans. We'll take a break and continue after this on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back. Winn-Dixie postgame show continues here from empty Everbank Field. Jaguars are beaten soundly today, 30-3 by the Tennessee Titans. Jeff Loggeman has our Bueller Swiss Watch MVP, Terrence Knighton, with him in the locker room.
All right, thank you, Brian. And Terrence, you know, obviously the game plan is to stop Chris Johnson. You guys did a pretty good job of that. And all of a sudden you take out Vince Young and Kerry Collins. But, you know, offensively you turn the ball over. Defensively they were able to convert some third downs and make some big plays in the passing game. It's got to be disappointing at home on a Monday night.
Yeah, absolutely. We just got to be more stout on third down and you know, get teams out of third and short, and, you know, and allowing teams, you know, three-step drop and, you know, getting an easy slant here and there. But, you know, we didn't do a good job, you know, forcing any turnovers and, you know, changing the field position and, you know, and getting our offense going. But, you know, we got a short week and we got to move on.
how disappointing is it that, you know, you got three wins and then three losses? Boy, it's one of the three games in which you're not in it, you know, and two of them at home.
Right. I mean, it's disappointing. It's very disappointing, especially, you know, having the chance to showcase, you know, our team on national television to play like this. But we just gotta keep fighting and keep working. And, you know, it's real tight. It's still tight right now in the division. And we're going to Kansas City. I know, you know, they're playing real well right now. And, you know, a hostile environment. We just gotta, you know, move on to the next one.
Short week. How do you move on to the next one? What's the quickest way to kind of get over this one?
Come in tomorrow, you know, take care of our bodies a little bit and, you know, watch the film and, you know, be right back at it Wednesday.
All right. Thank you, Terrence.
Yep.
All right, that's Terrence Knighton, our Bueller Swiss Watch MVP. You can get your Bueller Swiss at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, Robinson Jewelry Company in Fernandina Beach, Faceted Rainbow in Ocala, and Kingsley Jewelry in Orange Park. And, you know, last week in Buffalo, we said, gosh, we really need to have a defensive player of the game. So Rollin Esbell and his crew down there in the Jaguars media department went to work, and we have a defensive player of the game. It's brought to you by Jack Cannonier, Acura of Orange Park, Audi of Jacksonville, Hyundai of Orange Park, and Volkswagen of Orange Park, all on Blanding Boulevard, just north of I-295. And Terrence Knighton is also our defensive player of the game, brought to you by Jack Hanania, five tackles and a pass defense early in the ballgame. Go back to the Jaguars locker room. One of the team's leaders, Mercedes Lewis, joins Jeff Longman right now. Jeff?
You know, Mercedes, Monday night's a game for, you know, all the players to get excited about. I mean, everybody in the league is watching. And it's got to be disappointing to have a game like that for the team at home on a Monday night.
Yeah, it is. I feel like... you know, we're not a team that can just go down by 14 and try to fight back because we methodically move the ball down the field. I felt like today, you know, when it rained, it poured, and we shot ourselves in the foot a few times, and felt like guys felt like they had to press and do something different, and that was a result of it.
I've just got done asking Terrence the same question. I mean, your three losses weren't pretty. You get the three wins, but then the three losses, you're not in it. How do you get over that hump to where you can get competitive week in and week out?
Just got to keep working. You know, it's a man's game. Things happen. And once we get rid of the self-inflicted things, I feel like we'll be a good team.
David goes out with an injury. Trent Edwards comes in. How is he running the offense? I mean, obviously a couple turnovers, but in the huddle and his grasp of the offense.
He did a great job. For him to go in there like that, behind, and run 2 minute and red ball and the cadence and everything like that, under the circumstances he was in, he did a great job.
How do you get back? You know, back to being refocused on a short week going to Kansas City because you got two tough road games coming up against the Kansas City team's playing pretty good, and then you got to go to Dallas, a team that's a little angry.
And we're professionals, and that's what we're paid to do. So, I'm pretty sure that the makeup in this locker room knows what's at stake, and we understand what's expected of us. So we have to come in and put this behind us and move on as fast as we can.
Thank you, Mercedes.
Thank you.
All right, that's Mercedes Lewis. The O'Reilly Auto Parts offensive player of the game is Mike Thomas. Eight catches for the second-year wideout from Arizona tonight for 88 yards. O'Reilly Auto Parts will be making a donation to the Jack DeRio Foundation in the name of Jaguars receiver Mike Thomas. Folks, when the Jaguars win, everyone wins at Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue. Get a free barbecue pork sandwich with your game day ticket stub on Monday or Tuesday after a winning game, all at participating Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue restaurants. You know, last year in Seattle, when the Jaguars were beaten 41-0, as Logs rejoins me from the locker room, we just decided right then we're not going to create a bud play of the game where there wasn't one. And Jeff, in going back through this game, there wasn't even a play of the game tonight.
No. I mean, if you're going to pick a play of the game, it would have been for the opponent. I mean, the hardest thing was that, Brian, right from the opening drive where Tennessee took it six plays and go 79 yards, and he got a penalty on that drive that gave him, obviously, some big yardage. And then from that point on, I mean, that was it.
It was too early to get a bad feeling on the third play of the ball game. But third and eight, the crowd was into it. Opening drive for Tennessee. And the toss to Kenny Britt over David Jones was just, it seemed almost routine for Vince Young to just turn and slap it out there. And at that point, you went, all right, are they going to get these guys off the field? Of course, they didn't on that drive. It ended with a Kenny Britt touchdown of 23 yards. But very early on, Tennessee asserted themselves and the Jaguars just never could plant their flag in the ground, metaphorically speaking.
Man, you got to make a play. You know, I mean, somebody's got to make a play to kind of get that spark. You know, talking to the head coach there, I told him, you keep waiting and keep waiting for something just to kind of happen and to kind of get the ball rolling, and it just doesn't happen.
You know, you've been around this game a long time. How do you explain a game like that? I just heard Mercedes Lewis tell you, and he's a guy that I know and respect very well, but he said he was pretty sure the guys in that locker room, you know, were angry and knew what to expect and what was expected of them and how to rebound in Kansas City next week. And you just wonder, okay, well, didn't they know that tonight? You know, I mean, there's so much riding on the line tonight. And you know what? This franchise, more so than any other, has to worry about the ticket sales. And so we carry that chip on all of our shoulders, you know, because you want to win and impress the home crowd so you sell tickets to the next game, so you get that L.A. monkey off the back. And it just left me wondering, what did he mean by that?
Well, I don't know. I just know that one thing, Brian, is that when at some point the leadership, you know, whether it be coaching leadership, player leadership, it has to step up and demand more and accept less.
All right. Lodge, thanks so much. We appreciate it. We're going without our Bud Play the Game, but we certainly appreciate the folks from Budweiser for sponsoring. It is brought to you by Bud Light, or I should say it would have been brought to you by Bud Light. This year's sign of a good time. Here we go. Tonight was anything but a good time. I'm sure it wasn't for you folks watching at home or listening on your radio. It will not be a good time around Jacksonville this week as Jack Del Rio and his staff try to rebound, and now they have back-to-back road games in Kansas City. That's a team that's hurting after losing on the road in Indianapolis and in Houston. And then they go to Dallas, and we all know what's going on in Dallas. Still the Jaguars 3-3, just a game behind now the Texans, the Colts, and the Titans. But they have buried themselves and put themselves in an uphill fight. And then, of course, they don't play here again for a month, but they've got to win some ball games and sell some tickets to keep this thing rolling right along. That'll do it from the booth. We're going to send it back to Cole and Pete and Marco and eventually you. We've got the Winn-Dixie post-game show that rolls right along here. And then it's the Southern Ford Dealers scoreboard show. I'd like to thank the good folks from CopyFacts this evening for providing our game charts. Jason DeFore and his team print them every week, and we certainly appreciate that. CopyFacts is the exclusive and only provider of business machines to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Fill-in spotter this evening, Jeff Roskin from Atlantic Beach, filling in from a brother-in-law, T.J. Stride, who couldn't get back from Chicago. Certainly appreciate you, Jeff. Know you're on the ride home. Thank you very much. Scott Kushner up here keeping us on the air and flowing right along smoothly. And, of course, we go nowhere without the express written consent of Joe Fortunato, our executive producer for Jaguars Radio. Not a good outcome. Folks, 10 games left to play. Jaguars have a lot of work to do. Bet on this one tonight. Make it the 24-hour rule, then get ready to play Jaguars in Kansas City next Sunday at Arrowhead Stadium. Cole, Pete, Marco have you from this point forward on the Jaguars Radio Network. Good night, everybody.
We welcome you back to the Winn-Dixie postgame show. Now from Jaguars Central, Cole Tepper, Pete Banaszek, Marco Coleman. Reminder to cool down with a refreshing real fruit smoothie from McDonald's, available in wild berry or strawberry banana. Starting at just $2.29, McDonald's, I'm loving it. Well, I don't think many folks in Jacksonville were loving what happened today. I'm going to challenge you two gentlemen, here in this first segment of the Winn-Dixie postgame show, of our first segment, to find some positives tonight. I don't want to be thought of as the guy who couldn't find a positive in a haystack. I've got 4 positives, and I'll roll them out here. We'll see what we get. All right?
I got one.
You got one? Lay it on me.
Crowd.
Crowd was great. I'm talking on the field.
Well, then I don't have any.
On the field.
I'll tell you. I got one.
Go.
Mr. Terrence Knighton.
I agree.
For a nose tackle to have 5 combined tackles is a really good night.
Yep.
Fighting through double teams all night long. I think he was probably the only player. Well, I'll take that back. One of two that showed the inspiration and the urgency of a Monday night football game.
I actually thought there were 3 guys on defense who I would point out as having positive. I thought Alo also played well, not his best game, but I thought he played well. He was very active.
Especially coming back after getting hurt.
Yeah.
You know?
And then the other one was Kirk Morrison, who I thought was very active and continued to play all the way through to the end of the game when, you know, it'd be, you know, very easy to give up. He was still in there fighting and battling. I like that.
He's used to that playing with the Raiders. I want to say the current Raiders, but the past few
yeah.
seasons.
And then Scobie made his only field goal, right? Still perfect on the year. And Mike Thomas, 8 catches, 88 yards today. Did have the one, could have been a catch, could have been a, you know, but.
I thought Porkchop was in there. Duzable played at times very good. Mm-hmm. Very good. I mean, he and as Marco said, Terrence Knighton were pretty active in the middle because Johnson didn't really hurt us at all, basically. You know,
game was over by the time.
By the time he came in. But I thought they contained him well in that middle of that line. He didn't get anything.
So those are some of the positives we found. Well, now we've got some time to go the other direction. We'll take time out, gather ourselves, because we've got a lot to talk about in the other direction of this thing. Jaguars lose it today, 30-3 at home to the Tennessee Titans. Back with more of the Winn-Dixie postgame show right after this timeout here on Jaguars Radio. Back on the Winn-Dixie postgame show, Cole Tepper, Pete Banaszak, Marco Coleman. Vote for your favorite MVP teacher to be the Community First Credit Union MVP Teacher of the Week. Your teacher could win club seats to a Jaguars home game. It's all part of First Down Touchdowns for Teachers. Visit CommunityFirstFL.org for details and season ticket holders when you use your Jaguars rewards card. When you purchase at least $10 of gate gasoline, you get $2 in JagBucks. For details, go to Jaguars.com. Just kind of looking at these numbers, comparing the Jaguars' wins to the Jaguars' losses. It is a 33-point swing on average, not total points, on average points from the Jaguars' wins to their losses. Pete, how in the world is a team that much better when they play well and that much worse when they, you know, when they're off?
Well,
that's a dramatic difference.
Number one, look at the turnovers and just pull that out. You know, it could be a whole complete different story. You know, we go against San Diego. What do we have, 6 turnovers? You know, we had 4 today. And
had 3 last week, but beat Buffalo.
Yeah, and they're critical. We keep turning the ball over. Against Buffalo, we could get away with it. You can't get away with that against Tennessee or San Diego or you know, a good football team. But, there's so many things. You know, beginning of the season, there was so much optimism. You know, we got a lot of talk from, you know, the rebuilding, restructuring the defense. Hell, you got to restructure. You got a lot of work to go do there, right? Let alone our offense, because our offense right now is in complete disarray. I mean, when I see the running game fail like it did today, and the quarterback situation, which we'll get to later, I mean, that is a serious, serious problem that hasn't been addressed in the last 4 or 5 years, and you're paying the price for that right now.
In order to really gauge this, Marco, I think we have to understand, you know, who the Jaguars are playing against. In your mind, how good is Tennessee? Are they an elite AFC team? Are they a contender for a playoff spot? Are they a contender for a wild card or a division title? How good is Tennessee?
I actually picked Tennessee to win the division. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that they have what it takes. You see defensively that now that their secondaries have – last season their secondary was decimated early in the season. I think that was a big reason why they went into the tank early. And those guys are back. This no-name defensive front is creating havoc. They're only rushing with 4. They're not blitzing people. They're only rushing with 4 guys, and they're getting pressure on the quarterback, and they've been doing that all season long, and they've been able to contain good offenses. I really think that the Tennessee Titans do have what it takes. They don't kill themselves. Ultimately, if you're a football team that can play good defense and not hurt yourself, you got a great chance.
All right, so if I was going to start listing off the AFC teams, you know, the power teams, I would start with teams like, you know, Pittsburgh and Baltimore and the Jets and the Patriots. That would be my top 4. You mm-hmm. agree with that?
Yep.
Those 4. After that, maybe Tennessee's in there. Maybe Houston's in there.
Maybe Indianapolis
is in there.
Kansas City.
Maybe
Kansas
City's
4-1. Kansas City is 4-2. I mean, they're a good team.
Yeah, I mean, you have to start putting those teams in there. So, and again, Kansas City, of course, next week is the opposition. The thing that worries me the most is that on a Monday night, I sense some tightness in the locker room this week in talking with the guys. And again, this was back on Wednesday or Thursday. And so we had a long way to go till the Monday night game, and you can't always judge that sort of thing. But if I was picking up on it, don't the coaches have to pick up on that and find a way to make sure that they're the guys are taking the right approach and aren't getting too tight about a Monday night game?
Absolutely. You know, again, I'll go back to you know, Marco and I were talking during the game about this, that Monday night was the two teams that play on Monday night, that was the most exciting time of the season, wasn't it, Marco?
Hey, I mean, no doubt.
Because you knew all your peers were watching you. You knew you had the whole United States TV audience, sports audience, you know, watching you. And it was a night you looked forward to. This team, whether that was the case, then the coach has got to recognize that and you know, and use their coaching abilities to loosen them up a little bit.
Maybe the coaches. I think some of it, Marco, maybe also goes to the leadership. And Jeff Loggeman alluded to that. You know, yeah, you can say motivation or focus or whatever. That coaches can play a role in that. Veteran leaders can play a role in that,
and
too.
And one of the leaders on his team is David Garrard. And listening to a lot of the bites that we had earlier, he was a little too mellow, too even keel, just too cavalier.
That's his personality.
Too cavalier going into this game. You know, this is first and foremost, it's a divisional game. That in itself creates a higher intensity level for the preparation for this game. This is a team that we are directly in competition with in order to get to the playoffs. Now you add on to it that we're playing a divisional opponent on Monday night. It is time to lick your chops, to play your best football game, to be actually unconscious when you play. You know, it's not just a cavalier, hopefully, you know, we'll just be even keel. No, it's not that type of deal. I mean, I'm pretty sure Pete would attest to that. You know, it may be during the season, 1 o'clock games, yeah, this is Monday night against a divisional opponent. I know when you saw San Diego or Kansas City, whether it was Monday night or not, it's a whole different level.
It's what it's all about. You know, that's why you play the game. I don't know. This team is very frustrating to watch and to be a fan. And you know, I can understand we got young players, but we're not progressing. As a matter of fact, we're, in my opinion, regressing, staying the same. You know, we're not getting better.
All right. I want to take a moment here. We'll take time out. When we come back, let's really examine the quarterback situation. What's going to happen going forward after tonight's performance by David Garrard and by Trent Edwards. We'll talk about that as the Winn-Dixie postgame show rolls on after the Jaguars' 30-3 loss to the Tennessee Titans. Tired of defending what you pay for car insurance? With GEICO, you won't have to. Go to geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO for your free rate quote and see how much you can save. Back with more of the Winn-Dixie postgame show after this timeout here on the Jaguars Radio Network. We welcome you back to the Winn-Dixie postgame show following the Jaguars' 30-3 loss on Monday Night Football to the Tennessee Titans. I was talking about the quarterback situation. Pete, I'm not sure where the Jaguars are going here quarterback-wise. You know, there is a heightened sensitivity to head injuries, and I think that, you know, for good reason.
Yeah.
And so you never know. There wasn't much today, though. You know, you thought maybe for a minute, well, Garrard goes out, maybe Trent Edwards comes in and really, you know, sparks him. But then turnovers, and, you know, part of it is that Edwards has only been here for a few weeks, and so it's been tough to try to get a gauge on that. But, boy, you get Garrard one day, he's playing at, you know, a high level. The next day, he's having a hard time, you know, completing passes. Boy, it just drives you nuts at this point. You'd figure the Jaguars would hope the Jaguars would have a solution to that, or at least have an idea of where they were going to be with that position, well, whether good or bad, but on a week-to-week basis, you just don't know.
No, you don't, and that's very frustrating also, but I think there's a little bit more to it than meets the eye here. I thought David could come back and reappear in this game tonight, and maybe he did. Like you said, the sensitivity of concussions now is a big concern, and I can understand that, but this team is the most critical issue on this team is the quarterback right now. And if David Garrard's ready to go, if he is, mentally and physically, I mean, I'm not quite sure David is the game's fun for him anymore. I think the surroundings, getting the big money, and getting the pressure, because when you get the big money with that, you get the pressure.
Sure.
And I don't think David can handle that. I'm beginning to believe that he's a better as just a simple guy on the bench playing as a backup quarterback, but can't take the pressure of a starting quarterback in the National Football League, because in order to win in this league right now, you got to be a good number one quarterback. I mean, and he is not meeting that criteria. And if he is well to play next week and he doesn't play well and starts the game bad, I would have him on a short leash and I would yank him out of there so fast that his head would be spinning and go with Trent Edwards. I mean, for the time Trent Edwards was in there today, I thought he made some good decisions, you know, and some bad decisions, but not knowing the offense, you know, just give the guy about 10 plays and let him work those 10 plays. And I think that's what they did because it looked all the same. But the problem with this football team is from a quarterback standpoint of view and leadership of the offense is not there. It is completely gone, and that is the most critical issue of this football team right now.
Marco, where are they going with quarterback?
Well, I tell you, David Garrard is a former teammate of mine. I was here when David first got in, and my view of David was a tough guy. And right now, I don't see that guy. And my thing for David is to step up and be that guy. Assert yourself, be the leader, and take over the
You're
team.
You're talking about mentally tough as much.
Mentally
as
tough and physically.
And let me defend him for a second here. Let me play the other side of this. First of all, again, when you talk about the brain, nobody has a tough brain. You don't get tough. You know, nobody's tough against concussions. Your brain does what your brain does inside.
Well,
we don't
know he has a concussion.
Well, they reported it as a concussion. So that's why I can only go by what the information we have. But the point is, if it's a brain thing, nobody can be tougher than somebody else. It just is what it is. Now, you talk about him being mentally tough and bouncing back. After those two horrific games, San Diego and Philadelphia, he came back, played very well the next 2 weeks. He's shown some of that toughness. What I want to see
I wouldn't
is
say very well. I'd say well.
Hey, but I thought
he almost gave a game up against Indianapolis.
And I would just say well. I haven't seen David Garrard play a very well game this year.
Played much better than he had the previous 2 weeks.
Yeah. Okay. Better.
Substantially better.
But not very, very well.
Yeah, talk about quarterback ratings in the triple digits. You know,
I want to see 2007 grit, grinding. I'm going to do whatever it takes to win a game, David Garrard. Not I'm going to sit there and just take whatever happens to me. That's what's going on with David. David is just going by whatever. I don't see the same guy. I really don't. I don't see the aggressiveness and the way that he plays that we've seen before. Yeah, he's come back from some games he didn't play well. But, shoot, he's just throwing screens. He's not running the ball. He's not taking over. I mean, he's sitting there taking sacks.
Didn't have a lot of time to throw it.
But at the same time, he had the same type of offensive lines that were built for run blocking before, where he took the game on his shoulders and went ahead and did whatever it took to win the games. And that's not what's going on right now.
All right, we'll come back with an abbreviated version of the Sexton summary after the Jaguars' 30-3 loss to the Tennessee Titans on Monday Night Football. This is the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show here on Jaguars Radio. We welcome you back to the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show following the Jaguars' 30-3 loss to the Tennessee Titans today. Time now for the Metro PCS Sexton summary, the highlights and lowlights of today's game. Through the calls of the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton. First drive for Tennessee. They convert on a third down on their third play to Kenny Britt. Then another conversion to Bo Scaife. A face mask call on Rasheen Mathis helped things go. A six-play 79-yard drive to open up the game. And Vince Young would find his way into the end zone.
Barks out the signals, head bobbing and weaving, takes the snap, drops to throw. With some time, Plants turns and throws. He's got to manage. Kenny Britt at the 10. Pitch on the run to the end zone. Touchdown, Titans.
Made it a 7-0 ball game with 12:34 remaining in the first quarter. Jaguars trying to get something going on offense, just couldn't get their feet underneath them all game long. And what became a storyline of the ball game would crop up in the first half.
Quick drop for David. With time, turns and launches this one, and it's going to be intercepted. And was it dropped? No, it was intercepted. It's Michael Griffin. He's going back the other way. He's breaking tackles, and he's down at the Jacksonville 37-yard line.
Now there's the interception, one of four turnovers for the Jaguars on the game, and it would lead directly to a Tennessee score. Eight plays, 37 yards later. From close range, the Titans with Kerry Collins now in at quarterback.
Collins looks to throw, pumps, turns, fires, and he's got a man, and it's Boskay for a touchdown.
Quick and painful. 14-0 Tennessee with the lead. They would tack on a Rob Baronis field goal before the end of the half, make it 17-0. Jaguars with Trent Edwards in the ballgame after Garrard left with a reported concussion. And the Mercedes Lewis trying to find his way for a couple more yards, fumbled it away. That was really the Jaguars' last best chance to stay in the ballgame. It was 17-0 at the break. First possession of the second half, Trent Edwards intercepted by Altron Werner. And from there, it was all downhill. The Jaguars lose it 30-3. That was the Metro PCS Sexton summary. With no signed contracts, Metro PCS lets you unlimit yourself. We're back with the coverage of the game and the protector of the game as the Winn-Dixie postgame show continues after the Jaguars Monday Night Football loss right here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to Winn-Dixie postgame show. Cole Pepper, Pete Banaszek, Marco Coleman. 30-3 of the final. Tennessee beats Jacksonville on Monday Night Football. Time now for the Baptist Health coverage of the game. Baptist Health, Jacksonville Circle of Care. Pete, dare I ask, what do you got as far as the coverage of the game today?
Well, I think the best coverage was Terrence Knighton playing not only defensive line and rushing Collins, but batting down balls also. And I thought that was a good play there.
And time now for the protector of the game, brought to you by the Insurance Office of America. Marco, what about the protector of the game?
Uche Nwaneri shows up each and every week, the toughest offensive lineman that the Jaguars have.
All right.
Definitely.
He paved the way a bit, although not a lot of room in there for the running game for the Jaguars today. All right, we'll take our final timeout, come back with the good, the bad, and the ugly. The Winn-Dixie postgame show rolls on after the Jaguars 30-3 loss to the Tennessee Titans right here on the Jaguars Radio Network. Back here on the Winn-Dixie postgame show, wrapping things up with the Jaguars 30-3 loss to the Tennessee Titans. Pete Banaszek has the good, the bad, and the ugly. Peter, what do you have?
Well, the good thing was the crowd. It was teal Monday night in Jacksonville, Florida, and the fans turned out. I tell you, the stadium was packed and loud and boisterous. That was good stuff to see. I thought the bad thing was our offense. I really believe this our worst exhibition in the last 5 years or more offensively tonight. I just...
Certainly at home, yeah.
Yeah, I just can't get over it. I don't have any adjectives to describe it other than being lethargic and not ready to play. And the ugly thing is turnovers. Turnovers, you can't make six turnovers a game, four turnovers a game. That's what started this the avalanche, and started the scoring spree. And the quarterback play on this team is horrendous. We've got to make changes or something. I don't know, but it's not good.
Right, that's the good, the bad, and the ugly. Next week, the Jaguars head to Kansas City, try to barbecue up the Chiefs. We'll have it for you right here on the Jaguars Radio Network. Walking into a revitalized Arrowhead Stadium that has traditionally been one of the tougher places to play in the NFL, and it has been rocking this year. I've been told from personal accounts of people who may be related to me, but it's been pretty crazy there at Arrowhead this year. If you're in Jacksonville, stick around. We'll take your calls on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Jaguars lose it 30-3 to the Tennessee Titans. All is not lost. Jaguars are 3-3 on the season, but they do have some work to do to get things heading back in the right direction. For the second time this year, they're going to have to dig themselves out of a hole created by a poor offensive performance and some shoddy defense as well. Stick around. Your calls are straight ahead on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show as the Jaguars have kept things at even keel, 3-3 after six games. They're the only team in the AFC South not at 4-2 after six. More to come straight ahead.